You have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. I'm speaking this morning about with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your heart. And in a seemingly crazy world that we woke up in, how many know sometime or another in the last few years we woke up and the whole world went nuts? The whole world is loony. How many know it takes a little bit of craziness to live in this life anyway, but this is beyond the pale. What's going on? And adjusting ourselves, loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind is key to sustained revival and changing our atmosphere in this world, in our generation. Because if we'll love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our might, then He'll pour out His Spirit without restriction. Amen. The greatest power in the universe is God Almighty. But He'll only go as far as our faith will let Him go. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm not preaching another gospel today. I'm telling you, be it unto you, Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. And so, Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." All your heart is within you, everything that your spirit man could do, loving Him, setting Him in first place, all your soul, totality of your awareness in God. Who am I in God? All I trust, all I do, all I walk in, I love you. See? You would think in today's society that if we're not a good Republican, we're not a good Christian. It's not who's in the White House, my friend. It's who's on the throne. Amen. Thank God for things that are happening. And we've talked about Supreme Court appointments. I think this is the most important appointment in 50 years in the Supreme Court right now. Amen. I believe that it's going to turn around some laws that have been sanctioned against life. Abortion laws are going to be turned around. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I believe in our lifetime, we're getting ready to see the court go from 5-4 to 6-3, which, if you know anything about it, tremendous thing. So we don't want to negate that. We're not throwing a baby out with the bathwater per se, but it really doesn't matter who's wearing the robes on the Supreme Court. It matters who's on the throne and who we allow to pour out their spirit, which God is most certainly wanting to do in our day. See, our Christian walk must be more about an experience that requires an explanation instead of an explanation that requires an experience. Let me say that again. Our Christian walk must be more about an experience that requires an explanation. What has God done for you lately? Can you explain what God is, who God is in your life? Is it a good explanation, or do you need to reverse and go back 10 years ago when you got saved, or 20 years old? When I got saved, things changed. When I got saved, what did God do today for you? Because God is always on the move. How many know? Jesus said, "He who began a good work in you shall complete it." Yes, yes, yes. It's an ongoing thing that's happening within us. My question to you this morning is, can we live that kind of commitment? The word all means exactly that. I loved how Ashley was sharing about all. I love that little three-letter word, all. God will do it all if we'll do it all. To have a divided heart is walking in disobedience to the word of God. Turn with me to Psalm 86, verse 11. 86, verse 11. Let me read it in two versions. In the NIV, it says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." Number one, if we're going to set God as loving Him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, we need to have an undivided heart. The New King James says, Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. In our world, it's so easy to humanize God and deify man. We don't have anything unless God gives it to us. He's God. Our heart needs to be on Him, loving Him, trusting Him, obeying Him. How can I get an undivided heart? What is it? God, how am I? I'm there. I want to volunteer. How many want to volunteer for an undivided heart? One heart. Come on. Half of you want one heart. How many want one heart? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 11. Ezekiel chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 11, 19. I never get more than one chuckle. Ezekiel 11, 19. NIV says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Now, I'm not certain, but I think this is God speaking.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. God, how do I love you with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind? Employ what I've given you. Don't ask for an undivided heart. I've given you an undivided heart. In the New King James, it says, then I will give them one heart and I will put a new spirit within them and take the stony heart of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. And we find it difficult in today's world because we have interests that don't include God. And if we admit it, we have a lot of interests that don't include God. And we wonder why there's leanness of soul. We wonder why there's no pleasure in it. We wonder why the pursuits have a hollow ring to them. It's not that God doesn't want us to have pursuits. It's not that God doesn't want us to golf or bowl or watch our favorite clean TV program, that kind of thing. But God says, I've given you an undivided heart. I want you to employ that. So I'm number one. It's not that I don't want you to have pleasure. It's not that I'm, but I want the pleasure to be based in me. Everything filtered through Him. An undivided heart. We often pray, God, make me love you more. God says, I don't know what else I can do for you. I poured out my spirit upon you. I filled you with the spirit. I gave you an undivided heart. I took your heart of stone and gave you a heart of flesh. Just employ it. Just move in it. Just believe me. Just release your faith. We need to have an undivided love for God. Just for the purpose of rehearsal or review, we'll talk about the different kinds of love very briefly. Loving God completely, entirely with the love He has given us. A reckless love is what God wants. And there's a love that He deposited in us. How many know when we want to build on something, we're not building on something that is not already there. God gave us, with the undivided heart, a heart of love for Him. It's like a barometer. Come on, somebody. Whenever we do something to grieve the Holy Spirit, there's a little twinge in there. That's because we love Him. We don't want to hurt Him. That kind of love didn't come from us. That kind of love came from God. Eros love is a Greek word for sensual or romantic love. The term originated from mythological Greek goddess of love, sexual desire, physical attraction, and physical love. It's not found in the Old Testament, that word eros, but it's vividly portrayed in the passion of erotic love in Song of Solomon. That's a wonderful thing for a husband and wife to love one another. Second kind of love is called storge. And it's a term for love in the Bible that you may not be too familiar with, but it's the Greek word that describes the love of a family. The affection, the bond that develops naturally between parents and children and brothers and sisters. We could Talk about Mary and Martha. Talk about Jacob and Lazarus and the rest. We love our children. We love each other. The third type of love is phileo, or philia, is the type of intimate love in the Bible that most Christians practice toward each other. Powerful emotional bond, that's deep friendships. We love one another because we're part of the family. Turn to somebody and say, "You're part of my family." Can you imagine living with that person beside you for an eternity? Everybody go, "Oh man, God, I need you." We are going to know each other. Can you imagine? Forever and ever and ever and ever. I said, "Man, I better get used to you guys now." Philadelphia is often called the city of love. Having lived there 10 years, I can tell you nothing could be further from the truth. It's not the city of love. Agape is the highest form of love, and it's impossible to have agape love if you're not born again. If you're not born again, if you're not a new creation, you don't understand this kind of love. It's a love that defines God's immeasurable and incomparable love for mankind. And He shares that love with us. The love that we feel inside of us. Agape love is perfect. It's unconditional, sacrificial, and pure. Jesus said, when He said about the love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That's the kind of love that He's looking for. And He's not looking in a place where it wasn't deposited. He said, "I put that love in you. Now I want to see it come back to me. I want to see it come back to the world. I want to see it come back to each other." That agape love that can only happen in the born-again heart. Agape love is an all-consuming state of being. I don't know why I love, I just love. I don't know, but the only thing that comes out of me, shake me, and what comes out of me is love. You want a sustained revival? You're going to get it when you love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. That kind of agape love. In our society, we're taught to hate. We're taught it's okay to hate. We often hear people, even Christians, say they deserve that. They got what they deserve. How many know if we got what we deserve, we wouldn't be here today? Turn to somebody and say, "He's talking to you." If we got what we deserve, none of us would be here. And as long as somebody's breathing in and out, yes, even Whoopi Goldberg can be redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who died for each and every one of us. And He's looking for the love responding. He's not looking for something that He didn't give us. He gave us agape love. When we got this package, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, He came in our heart. He gave us the love. All we have to do is employ it. The world is begging for people to love them instead of judging them. We're so quick to throw out commandments and words and condemning words. They're looking for love. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people? We don't need to tell people they're wrong. We need to tell people that are loved. Amen. You're loved. Is what I'm doing wrong? Yes, but you're loved. Is this a sin? Yes, but you're loved. God will take that sin and replace it. How many are glad when God did the super exchange with you? Exchange sin for righteousness. Woo-hoo! That was good stuff. You went to God and you said, "What happened to the sin?" God said, "I take care of it. I wiped it out and I replaced it with all this good stuff." Come on, somebody. That's why we're so excited when we first get saved, because we never felt that good before. We never felt that blessed before. And God says, "I want to sustain it. I want to see, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength," Deuteronomy says. The Message Bible says, "Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love Him with all that's in you. Love Him with all you've got. It better be God. Just kidding. See, Deuteronomy says, you shall, the natural reaction to a supernatural command. God would never ask you to respond if He didn't give it to you. Because we've got nothing to give Him. We've got nothing to give Him except what He gave us. Come on, somebody. God's not a giant tease up there. Love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Give it a try. No, He gave us the love. He gave us all that we need. And the secret is in praising Him and putting Him in first place in everything we do. This is the secret to an undivided heart and an undivided love. Praising Him. Watch what the Scriptures say. Psalm 9 and verse 1, it says, I will praise You, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all Your marvelous works. When you see whole heart in the Scriptures, that's key to the born-again experience, whether it's Old or New Testament, because it's impossible to love God with a part of your heart. Loving God with part of your heart is religion. It's piecemealing what we give God. God, I'll give You from 10 to 12 on Sundays. That's when I'll love You. And the rest of the time, I'm going to love something else. No wonder the world is going, what have you got? Psalm 111:1, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise You with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to You. The key to having an undivided heart and an undivided love is an undivided praise. Wow. We're praising Him. We're not praising the situation. We're not praising people. We're not praising music. We're praising Him. Right. See? With all your heart, the very essence of who we are, all of our being, with all your soul, the entire individual. Psalm 25:1, to You, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Psalm 34:2, my soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Psalm 35:9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation. And when it gets out of control, you have the stop button. Come on, somebody. I had a little 175 Honda when I was a kid. It was a street trail bike, and my dad wanted to ride it. My dad was not very good at bikes. And he got on the bike, and I got a phone call. Back then, you didn't have cell phones, so you actually had to go to the house for the phone. I know that's hard for you young people to imagine, but there was only one phone that hung on the wall, and it had a string attached to it, so you couldn't go very far. How many remember those days? So anyway, I ran to the... It was my girlfriend, so I went to talk to my girlfriend, and my dad got on the bike and started down the back. There's this big field, and he forgot how to stop it. Ran into the side of a trailer and smashed the light and smashed the trailer, and we ended up having to pay mobile home. We had to pay for the skirting around, and we broke the siding, and the headlight was broken. Everything else was broke. There's a stop button that God gives us when we know we're going the wrong direction. And David said in Psalm 42:5, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. God says, He's not only given us an undivided heart, He's not only given us an undivided love, He's not only commanded us to give Him an undivided praise, but He has given us the wherewithal to stop the nonsense in our own life. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. How do I do that? I command myself. I'm in command of this thing right here. I can't control anything outside of here. How long do we have to keep butting our heads against the wall to find that out? I can't control what you do. I would love to. Well, if you're honest, how many would be, you know, if you could just control everybody in your life? We can't do it. But we can control us. Our response. God said, I put this in you. This is not an experiment I gave you. This is not to see if you can succeed or not. This is guaranteed success. I've given you the love. I've given you the praise. I've given you an undivided heart. Given you all the tools. Now you just respond. Employ them and watch. Why do we make things so difficult? We tell young people, you know, you're 16 years old. The old jokes. So-and-so's got their driver's license. Let's not go on the highway. We make it difficult. Everybody's got to do it, right? Come on, someone. I don't know what it is that we make things so difficult. Christianity is not that difficult. It's dying to ourselves and accepting everything that God gave us for success. Come on, somebody. If it were difficult, we'd all fail at it. I told my wife when they were passing out brains, I thought they said trains, and I said, give me a big slow one. I got thick skull. This is so easy. God gave me everything. When He made me a new creation, He gave me the whole package.
Yes, He did.
And if we'll just employ that, come on, somebody. Why are you cast down, O my soul? I use that verse a lot right after watching CNN for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. I'm ready to. Come on, somebody. I won't even go there. But then God says to love. You cannot stay angry with somebody you're praying for. I'm praying for a whole lot of folks, I'll tell you what. There's some people, I don't know how they made this far in life without being gonged.
Amen.
I mean, come on. But the thing is when I start to listen to them, I realize they have a divided heart. They don't even know what love is. They don't even know what the basic kind of love is. They don't even know what Eros love is. I mean, it's so confused. Now they're saying there's 63 genders of love. People with PhDs saying there's two sexes and 63 genders. You don't even know what Eros love is. They're without knowledge. They're without gnosis. Why? Because they've been blinded by sin.
Yeah.
What did God die for? God died for sin. Jesus died for sin. So it'd be taken away so they could see clearly, just like you can.
Right.
Yep. We are without excuse, not them.
Right.
We often look at them and say, what's the matter with you? Well, we ought to know what's the matter with them.
Yes.
They're full of sin. Am I talking to the right people?
Yeah.
Come on. And our interceding and standing in a gap for them and praying. Man, there are people prayed for me. I was the worst of the worst of the worst. You wouldn't trust me in the same room with you in a purse. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me like that. It was the old guy. He's not living here anymore. It's not me. You can trust me. It's not me. He died. But that's my point. See, God made you a new creation. Stop trying to be the old person. Stop trying to have an undivided heart. That's something that's impossible. It takes more faith to live outside of the love of God than it does inside. It takes more faith if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, none of this is making sense to you. But if you're a Christian, you're responding. See, God gave you all the equipment in there. It may be dusty. That's okay. Take it out, blow it off, and begin to employ it. He didn't take it away from you. It's there. He's just waiting for you to employ it. Deuteronomy says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your might. With all your strength. But Jesus quoted it a little bit differently. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Take every thought into captivity. How do I do that? God gave you the ability to do that. That's called the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Be sensitive to what, when the Lord says, shut it off, shut it off. Well, the Lord says, don't go there, don't go there. The Lord says, don't buy that, don't buy that. Come on, somebody. Joshua 22 and verse 5. 22 and verse 5. Joshua talking to the children of Israel after the death of Moses. He said, but take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Here's what the Message Bible says. Only this, be vigilant in keeping the commandment and the revelation that Moses, the servant of God, laid on you. Love God your God, walk in his ways, do what he's commanded, embrace him, serve him with everything you are and have. I say, God, I don't know how to do that. Yield. Holy Spirit will teach you each step of the way. What am I saying? It's the process of sanctification. Everybody say sanctification. Sanctification. It's a process. If we fall, God forgives and gets us back up and says, okay, let's try it again. Let's go. How many know God's patient? I look at my age and I pull my license. I look at my age and go, God's very patient. Should have wiped me out a long time ago. He's patient. This sanctification process is a series of stops and goes and of failures, not because of God, not because of the devil, but because of our disobedience and our lack of applying these things. When we apply these things, we succeed. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. When you're there, smile. And if you don't have a pen, borrow somebody else's. And if you can't mark your Bible, switch Bibles and mark their Bible. Watch this. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. The next time you want to get angry at whatever the situation, or your neighbor, or people, or politicians, or Whoopi Goldberg, sit down with a blank piece of paper and start to consider what he's done for you. I guarantee you, about halfway down the page, you'll forget about who you were angry with. Look what he's done for you. I had a conversation with somebody out in the lobby saying, well, how does God love us? How do we know God loves us? You just found out. You just took a breath. And there again, you took another breath. And there again, you took another breath. God loves us. We're alive. Turn to somebody and say, we're alive. I don't know about you, but I thank God a lot that I'm not him. If I were him, I'd have wiped everybody out two or three times. There is a God. Rule number one. Rule number two, you are not him. Thank God. Thank God. He is your praise, Deuteronomy says, and he is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Nobody could have done what he did for you. He is your praise and he is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things. And he put up with us. He loves us. He wrote our name in the book of life. He filled us with his spirit. He gave us an undivided heart. He took our heart of stone and he put a heart of flesh. The world is absolutely begging to see this kind of love and Christianity. They've seen the other stuff and look what it's done. Look what it's done. You open our eyes, look what it's done. It's caused so much division. You talk about division. You talk about denomination. There's not a denomination that's not had the carnage of sin strike them. One of the greatest, powerful, spiritual denominations in the world, Episcopalians, absolutely flooded Africa and Australia and Europe. Episcopalian church, powerful. Just had their convening of removing all pronouns from the Word of God. No more he and she. Completely wiped out. Nothing in their hymns, nothing in their scriptures. Talk about God as a he or talk about God as a she. All pronouns taken out. So as not to offend. They're one of many that have done that. Because of an undivided heart, because of a worldly kind of love. We get this idea that love, listen, the presence of love, the presence of truth is not the absence of love. Presence of truth, absolute truth. We're not shirking that, but we've got to fill it with love. Come on, somebody. What I'm talking about has absolutely destroyed. It's carnage in the spirit of religion. But in the love, they are absolutely waiting to hear of our love for God and our love for them. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. You all right? Everybody okay? Do you need me to turn in my Bible to Psalm 126? I got to print it out, but I'll turn there with you. Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Am I preaching okay?
Yeah.
You all right? Everybody following me? Psalm 126, verse 2. 126, verse 2. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Amen. That's the day God is waiting for, where the nations say, see those people? God has done great things for them. How can we be a part of that? And instead of saying, Christians, stay over there. You hate homosexuals. You hate this. You hate that. We don't want anything to do with you. Stay over there. If they would just sense the love. See, and where does it begin? We're waiting for everybody else. Hey, when it comes, I'll join the... Are we going to be part of the parade? Or are we going to be watching the parade? Are we going to be the ones to love? Is it going to start and end with us? Is God going to be all... See, individually, if each individual take personal responsibility for that, God said, I've given you an undivided heart. I've given you undivided praise. I've given you an undivided mind. I've given you a heart of flesh. I've taken the heart of stone. I've given you everything. Love me with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind that I provided for you. With your whole heart. With your whole soul. And with your whole mind. This is the biggest battle that we'll ever fight is right here. Yeah. Right here. Right. We talk about fighting demons. We talk about fighting principalities and powers. Right here. Right, right here in the mind.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Yep.
And I've tried it. I have conversations with people. And right away, when we, especially, man, I'll tell you today, the hot button is politics. You start talking about politics, woo, man, right out the mouth starts his hate speech. See, the devil will throw thoughts into our mind. He's waiting for it to come out of our mouth. As soon as it comes out of our mouth, he's got minions. He's got all of his little demons that are going to come and come on, somebody. You need to watch your mouth. Don't speak it. Because while it's in here, he can't hear it. Key, come on, somebody. Stay with me just for a few more minutes. Our thoughts in our mind, that's why we're taking thoughts in control, because by the time it came out of our mouth, it's too late. Now we not only said something wrong, now we got to fight the demons that are coming in on that and flooding our mind with all kinds of things. Because they know it works, so there's more hate and stuff come out. Then we begin to cuss and we begin to get upset and we begin to get angry and then we begin to wish people dead. And the sin has piled on itself so far. And God says, wait a minute, I've given you an undivided heart, I've given you undivided praise, I've given you undivided love, I've given you a heart of flesh, employ it. Yes, I'll forgive you, but now go this way.
Right.
And when God begins to pour out His Spirit here several weeks ago, the Spirit of God was so thick in here, man, people were getting touched, and then came the responsibility. You woke up one morning and God says, okay, now that you've employed all that, now you're responsible. And you go, can we go back to default? Can we go back to whenever I was just... Come on, somebody. God wants it all the time. Turn to somebody and say, that's good preaching. Honey, why didn't I wear my steel toes this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray. Lord, I thank you for the outpouring of your Spirit. I want it more than anything else. I want it more than breath. I want the outpouring of your Spirit to happen. I know that we're praying in that direction, but God, if I've stuffed it up anyway, if I've corked it up anyway by my disobedience and my undivided heart, forgive me, Lord. Lord, I want to love you with my whole heart, soul, strength, and mind. I thank you that you've given me all that it takes to do that. And God, now I ask you to flood our hearts just in these next few minutes while we're here. Flood our hearts, God, with response to your word this morning. Let signs, wonders, and miracles take place. Let us drop the attitudes.
Yes.
God, we're dropping the attitudes. We're dropping the thing that says, man, I don't love that kind of thing. I don't like that kind of thing. We love. God, you've asked us to love. You take care of everything else. Lord, on that day of judgment, you'll take care of everything. Nobody will be fooled. Whatsoever a man sows, that you'll also reap. You're going to take care of all that, God. We're looking to you. And could it be, Lord, that you could change hearts? Could it be that you could change the direction that this nation is going? I believe you can, God. But it's going to happen on the premise of love. It's going to happen because we love you with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Now, if you're here today, you said, I don't know. If I die, I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I don't know if I go to heaven. I just don't know if I had that kind of relationship you're talking about. I don't understand that agape kind of love. I don't care how long you've been coming to church. You say, I may have been faking it. I don't know. Now's the time to get your heart right.
Amen.
I give you that opportunity to just slip up your hand. I promise you God will come and meet you where you're at. Anyone else? So, Father God, responding to those people that raise their hands, God, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you become so real to them? Would you enter their heart and change them, Father?
Yes.
Lord, you said if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd forgive the sin of those. All of us, God. Wash us clean, God. In the name of Jesus. You're here today and you say, man, I just need to take that step up. Some of you, it's going to take, stop listening to news. Turn it off. Don't worry about it. Some of you, it's going to take readjusting your life. Those people that make you so mad sometimes, they're not going away. They're always going to be there. But ask for God to give you a love for them. I pray for marriages this morning, that love would come back to the marriage, that agape love layered on the eros and on the phileo, layered on that, the agape love that you need for each other. Lord, I pray that you just flood our hearts and our lives with that kind of love. Give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.